Hello and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. And this time I am going to talk about a couple of things, some things that have recently happened. One of them involving Valiant, and the other is some DC changes to some costumes. So they've announced that Superman is getting his red trunks back. They already gave him his boots back, which I really thought was a good move. And now they're going to give Batman some underwear back. I'm really happy about this stuff. And if they put yellow in the Bat chest plate, I'll be happy again too. And the reason is because when I think of Superman or Batman, they always have those outside undies. Like when you dream or somebody says Superman and you're imagining it in your brain, that's the Superman I grew up with, whether it be in the Super Friends or the comic books I read, that is what strikes an image. So I'm really happy to see some of the costumes that I find iconic come back. And I know they won't stay. Things change all the time, but it's nice to see them come back from time to time. So I'm really pleased about the costume changes. We'll see what else happens. Brian Michael Bendis posted something on Twitter, very interesting. He posted a Michael Keaton image of him looking out the window and seeing the bat signal. And I wonder if that means he's going to be working on Batman in some form. It could be any title, it could be a new title, it could be Batman, it could be Detective. It could be something else, but it was real cryptic. I actually hope it's Batman. It would improve for me personally if it was Batman. But I don't think it will be because I think DC's really happy with Tom King. But I'd like to see Bendis take a stab. I've always enjoyed his work. Gonna miss him on Iron Man. I really am. I think he did a fantastic job. And finally, Valiant. So this company, I think they're called DMZ or DM something, from China, had acquired a portion of Valiant like 2 years ago in 2015. And at that time, I was in the Valiant podcast, and I even spoke. I said when they acquire stuff, it's usually for shares and controlling the shares, and they actually got start guiding the board. And the reason I said is because my wife had been through this. I've seen a company get acquired and change dramatically, and we've seen that with Valiant. I think even before they sold to Acclaim, they ousted Jim Shooter, who pretty much ran the company, and then they sold to Acclaim. In some of their eyes, that probably was a good sale. It made somebody very rich and probably hurt some other, but I don't think Acclaim went under because of their comics division. They went under because of their video games weren't selling anymore. Sorry, but I'm parched. So there's that, and they recently acquired. So they had 57% of the shares. I don't know if the 57% was what happened in 2015, or if one of the people that had shares sold an extra 10% or whatever it took them to get over the hump to have controlling shares of the company. And there's other investors involved. But the big news is that Dinesh, who is the CEO and kind of the face of the company, also the optimist of the company, I equivalate him to like the Stan Lee. Like he's the guy that ran the bullpen and got people excited. And even when things were bad, he was such a good guy that things always stayed positive. And he's one of the only guys that ever was in that high of a position that was just like anybody else, and I think he wanted to be like anybody else. You could go to a con and just talk to him just like he was another fan. I think he loved his work a lot, and he loved the characters. I mean, he's the one that brought everything back together, made sure the acquisition happened, formed this company, got investors. He had to get the initial investors with money. And the problem is if you're passionate about something and you don't have 100% of the money, you can't control how the company goes. Or you can control it as long as you can. But when this other company got involved, they wanted a shared universe. And that shared universe was going to be Valiant to compete with movies that DC and Marvel were putting out. And I personally think that they're going to struggle unless that first movie's a hit. Like if they tank on the first movie and it doesn't meet expectations, it's not going to work out well. But anyway, I feel bad for Dinesh, 'cause Dinesh is passionate about the property. I mean, you could tell everything that he tweets, everything that he does. The people that work with him, they just liked to do it because of his attitude. You could even be like complaining to him, and he would always keep his composure and always look at the bright side. And there's very few people that are able to do that. And it's going to be sad to see him go, because I think he was a creative force and the face of the company. But we've seen this happen before. We saw it with Jim Shooter, and then we had a period where Jim Shooter wasn't there, and then we saw Acclaim. And everybody could say that it got worse as time went on. I think some things worked and some things didn't, but what usually means is that change is a coming. If we go back to the Valiant stuff, you saw a little bit of quality diminish just a little bit after Shooter left, at least I think so, but it still kept the continuity. But when Acclaim got their knickers and stuff, they decided to reinvent what these characters were. It's almost like a rebirth at DC or something, where except they really wanted to change what these characters were. Like a military guy got the XO suit. It started off with a guy that was like this real awesome military guy, and then he was replaced by the scientist that was working with the armor later on, as the military guy died almost in issue one. And that's how that started off. Ninjak totally changed into something like a video game. Turok became young. The Harbinger, I can't remember what they did to Harbinger. That's the one that they went quarterly with. And Shadow Man was the, for me, the exception. I actually think it improved, even though the first one was great. The second one was Zero, was absolutely fantastic when they kicked it off with Garth Ennis, and then it led into something later where he was a radio host, and it was absolutely fascinating. But it lasted a while. So say what you will, I was along for the ride because I'm invested in the characters, whether they change or not. And I'm going to be around for the characters when they, if, I mean, even if the whole company's face changes and they start publishing something different, I'll be there. We'll see what happens with Dinesh if he wants to still create. I'm sure he'll have a lot of followers follow him over, at least to the, I don't know if it'll be success, because the comic book marketplace is really packed right now and it's hard to get a market share. But Jim Shooter did have two companies after Valiant. He had Defiant, which I enjoyed, and he had Broadway, which I enjoyed even more. So I thought Broadway was better than Defiant. But there were some gems in that Defiant. So it remains to be seen what's going to happen, but changes are coming. We saw this with other acquisitions. Marvel acquired the Ultraverse, and they didn't do much with it. They mostly bought them for their color technologies, and they used those, but they didn't. They started to do stuff with the characters, and I guess thought, it's not working out well. They've merged the universes even a while in the Malibu side before it was a full acquisition. And it's sad to see that none of those characters survived in any form. But so that was a failed acquisition. And I guess you could say Acclaim was, but I think their success too was how the they bought it at the wrong time, when the market was already on a downturn instead of on an upturn. Another acquisition is Marvel acquiring CrossGen, but that was through bankruptcy and starting to publish some of the they did Sigil, Roos, and one other one I can't remember. Oh man, why can't I remember what it is? But Roos was sort of the same and written by the same writer, but they really changed everything else and didn't have a successful launch on that. And we'll probably never see those characters again. So there's another acquisition that went down the toilet. I'm trying to think of other ones, but let's talk about one successful one. DC's acquisition of the Charlton characters, Blue Beetle, Thunderbolt, Peter Cannon, Thunderbolt, Captain Atom, Nightshade, Sarge Steel, Question, Judo Master, several of them. Somehow Peter Cannon got into the public domain again. I don't know how that could have happened. Maybe because they didn't use him at all. He came in Crisis, and then shortly after Crisis, he had a miniseries called Peter Cannon Thunderbolt at DC Comics. Nightshade they used in Suicide Squad pretty successfully. Blue Beetle had his own title and became a member of Justice League International, where he met Booster and became really successful there. Captain Atom has had several series and has been iconic in Superman, Batman, and several other titles. He was one of the major characters in Armageddon 2001, and he was supposed to have become the villain, but word leaked out and they switched it to Hawk, of Hawk and Dove. Pissed off a lot of people, by the way, including Derek Coward, I remember. But I would say that was a successful acquisition. DC acquiring the quality characters. I think they did good with Plastic Man. Even though they're not featured a lot, I think they do a good job with them. Plastic Man, Uncle Sam, the Human Bomb, Phantom Lady, Doll Man, Black Condor, any of the Freedom Fighters, the Ray. We've seen several incarnations of them. There have been several Freedom Fighter titles. The Ray, not the original, but the other Ray has had a couple of titles and is currently in a Rebirth title. So, Phantom Lady, she's been in the Freedom Fighters and several other. I think she had a backup in DC Weekly. DC, what was that called? Action Comics Weekly. She had her own series too. It was like the Phantom Lady and Doll Man, I think it was. And of course, Uncle Sam had the Freedom Fighters. He had a Vertigo series. Human Bomb had his own series written by Palmiotti and Gray. So yeah, they've had some success, and they show up from time to time, and we saw them in All-Star Squadron, and we saw them in Justice League of America when they'd have those crossover events. So I think that was a good acquisition. The Shazam one, even though they sued the company and then eventually got the rights to Captain Marvel, I think they've done an okay job with him. It's weird that he was so popular in the Golden Age. I guess you could say that was a diminished one because he was more popular than Superman at a time, and it's like they suppressed him. I don't know why. But he had a series in the 70s, kind of when the TV show was on. And then he had a couple minis, and then he had Power of Shazam by Jerry Ordway. And he's had some off some he's been in the Justice League for a while. He's been in the JSA. So I would say, they've kept the characters at least somewhat in the limelight, even though I would say that all these characters are B or C listers. So there's been some successful acquisitions, or at least not depreciated what these things have become. But when you have like things that were somewhat successful, like the Ultraverse, like entirely new continuity universes, and then you could say Valiant. I'm trying to think if there's got to be more. I know they reinvented the Atlas characters, but that was even too short to even mention. That was from Arden Comics. So many different things, but when a company is purchased, here's what I think happened, and this is all speculation. So when this company acquired stuff, there were probably things in the works, and they're like, okay, as long as you're making X amount of profit, we're on the sidelines and getting ready for movies and whatever. And expectations were set, I think, where you have boards that meet monthly or maybe quarterly or maybe every 6 months, and they look at profit margins. And I don't think like Valiant has changed much on the profit margin. They've obfuscated the numbers, and I've had many people say this is they're a Valiant fan, especially those completists. They're obsessed with getting every cover, and they'll get it whatever they every means that they'll get it for. So they'll have a store buy it, sell it for whatever the store needs it for, and then they're stuck with like all these copies of comics because it's a 1 in 50 or a 1 in 25 or a 1 in 100 or a 1 in 1,000 or some ridiculous number that they know they don't have that much readers for. But I don't think they turned around, and they probably had like some agreement, like you will get one movie made or get something, maybe a bigger digital presence. And I think that they didn't see what the investors weren't seeing what they want to, so it causes the investors that he had that were working with him to not see money and want to sell their more shares. And as it dwindles away, yeah, Dinesh probably had several shares, and he probably made a lot of money over this transaction, but I don't think he wanted to leave. He's a smart guy. He probably saw the writing on the wall as things were happening. And but yeah, it's crazy. I've seen it happen with many a companies. It's not just comics. Things are acquired. Sometimes that's your goal. I know a lot of people make a lot of money because they achieve success in some technical advancement or something. They offer some service that makes some money, and they present that to other people that would like to buy it. And when they sell their company, they're like, huh, I achieved my goal. I made X million dollars or billion dollars, and I can sit on the beach and watch the water and seagulls come, and I don't have to work another day in my life. So that's some people's goal. But in this case, I think there was a lot of shareholders. There was, you know, the major people that had shares, and Dinesh had shares. Who else knows who had shares? But that equated to about, you know, 50 or over 50. And somebody sold some more shares to this company. And who knows what they're going to do with it? It remains to be seen. I really don't think we're going to see the Ninjak versus the Valiant universe for sure. But we'll see. And hopefully we'll see a movie out of it, because that's what they're projected to make happen. Maybe they'll see some international money. Maybe they won't succeed in the U.S., but they'll succeed overseas. Who knows? It'll be an interesting journey to figure out. I wonder what will change. I wonder if Valiant will still put out these crazy 1 in 50s and 1 in 100 and 1 in metal covers and all this stuff, or if it'll change more like there's just one cover per session. I wonder if they'll cut back the titles until they figure out what the sweet spot is. I wonder if a bunch of writers will quit and artists because they don't like what's going on, or they're afraid they won't have whatever agreement they had with the old group. That's out the door. So maybe they're afraid to create new characters, or who knows how that'll affect, like, Matt Kent, because he's been there, and Jeff Lemire, and a lot of those artists. Who knows what their thought process will be, or if they even stick around. And I hear rumors that Warren might stick around, and who knows. But they'll probably have less of a con presence, I imagine, because Dinesh was always at these cons and always selling stuff and carrying boxes and working it like anybody else would work it, and yet he was at the top. So, yeah, it's sad. It's sad to see it happen. Could be the end of an era, but sometimes things could get better. Who knows? We might get a better Shadow Man out of it, like we did with Acclaim. At least I think so. Who knows? The one thing to keep an eye out on, though, let's say if Valiant does go away, keep an eye out on those last few issues with the low print runs, because damn, those Acclaim issues are really expensive. So that's one thing speculators could keep an eye out for, is those low print final issues, if there are. I hope that the company stays in the publishing business, or keep some kind of presence in the publishing business, even if it's a quarterly or something. It would be a shame to see these creations go away. I wonder what Shooter would think about this. Like, he's been through it. And it'd be interesting to see what his thoughts are. You create something that's successful, and it's a failure to you because you're pushed out. Who knows? But it is a sad thing. It really is. I don't think things will get better, but that's just me looking at history. All those acquisitions, like even the ones that I said successful, I wouldn't say they're more successful, because I don't know what Golden Age quality books sold, but I know Plastic Man was popular. And I think Shazam was way popular in the Golden Age than he ever was now. So, I don't know. Do things get better? I don't know. But I don't think Valiant will go away forever. So, let's just say it could get better. That you could be optimistic. I'm along for the journey because I'm a Valiant historian. I want to know what's going on. I want to know what changes are happening. I want to be a completist of the universe, regardless of what happens, good, bad, ugly. I don't care. I'm going to be there. I'm trying to think of more examples, but really I can't think of one where we could say, oh yeah, it was this property and it turned into this huge thing by change. Usually I think things are diminished. I guess you could say the only one that I know for sure is the Charlton characters, because they weren't huge. The action line in Charlton wasn't that big. And when they did come to DC, they had a bigger presence. And they have a big cult following. They've been in animation. They spawned the Watchmen. So that's one example for sure. And I don't know how they acquired Charlton. Like, if that was an acquisition or like another bankruptcy thing like CrossGen had. But it would be interesting to see if, like, CrossGen comes back or anything. But for those of you that need that shared universe, maybe you ought to jump over and try some Lion Forge Catalyst Prime stuff, because that's a continuity universe that's being explored, and their print runs are low. Holy moly, they're like in the, you know, you have your top 300, well, they're usually below that. Black Panther opens up this weekend. I look forward to seeing that. We already bought our tickets. So I think I'm going to wrap this one up. And let me know what you think about the Valiant. Are you going to I guess what I'm more interested in, are you going to stick around? Or are you just going to jump ship before you even know what's going to happen? So, yeah. Joshua Dysart posted an interesting thing. He was reacting to Dinesh getting let go. Wrote up a really good response about him meeting Dinesh, and he thought he was just an intern when he first met him. And I think Warren gave him the job when nobody else would hire him. And he said it was really weird because he had that critically acclaimed Unknown Soldier at DC Vertigo, which I think is one of my favorite comics of all time. I love that series. And for some reason, all that critical acclaim, he couldn't get work, and Warren took a chance on him, and he had some good things to say about Dinesh. And if you ever meet Joshua Dysart, he's a really cool dude. I like him a lot. I always mention Cornboy to him because I think I'm the only one that bought Corn Boy from Dynamite Publishing. Oh no, I think my co-host on Geek Brunch bought it as well, Bill Bomer. But I think we're the only two on the whole planet that have a copy of Corn Boy. So, I also want to say that I just read The Further Adventures of Nick Wilson. And, that was an Image comic. Surprised the hell out of me. I didn't originally pre-order it, but I was at the comic shop and I saw it, and sometimes I'll take a chance on a number one. And usually I've been reading the previews, so like they have the Image Plus. And man, that magazine is throwing me for a loop, because the ones that I think I'm going to really like, I read and I'm like, oh, they're okay. And the ones that I decided to bail on or not get, I really like. So I don't know. You'd think a preview would kind of guide you and tell you, hey, you're going to like this or you're not going to like this. Well, I haven't had that much luck with those Image Plus. So I've been trying to pick up some. The other one I like is the Day of, I can't remember what it's called. It's the new Alice Cott. It's like a future terrorist thing. And the Days of Death. I can't even think of what it is. But I know it's lying around here somewhere. And I'm not going to find it. The Days of Hate. That's what it's called. It was on the kitchen table. Another winner that I didn't originally buy. Sad as I walk around the house and record about Valiant, I walk by my lanyards and I remember going to Justin Ehart's barbecue where he gave people Valiant lanyards from the 9th annual Valiant Poker Night. And it's a beautiful lanyard. I had to wear it to work. So I have a couple of lanyards I should switch out, but I've been wearing my company lanyard. But I hope you all have a good one, and I'll be back with the weekly reads. Bye-bye. All right, let's get into the Mike M's weekly reads. And again, the rankings are, this is for week beginning March 13th, 2017, going through March 19th, 2017. And we're going to start at the bottom and work our way up. And that week we had 32 total comics. We had 9 Image, 2 Marvel, 20 DC, and 1 Aftershock. So let's start at the bottom with the 3 out of 5s. The bottom, and this is one series that man, it's almost 2 out of 5. Now that I think about it, but I was being generous, which means I liked it. But Justice League Power Ranger number 3, the team tries to fight Brainiac and Zorn, and I don't know who's, I'm not familiar with the Power Rangers, so I assume Zorn is like a key Power Ranger villain. As they try the they fight Brainiac and Zorn as they try to escape to the Power Rangers world, because they are in an alternate world, and they have to try to use the Hardened Collider to get to the Power Rangers world. We have All-Star Batman number 8. This is a 3 out of 5. This series is weird because it oscillates between a 5 out of 5 to a 3 out of 5 to a 5 out of, and sometimes it's a 4 out of 5. It's like a sine wave. Except it doesn't go below a 3. All-Star Batman number 8 was versus the Mad Hatter, and it was an hallucination issue. We have Batman number 19. Batman releases Arkham villains to try to slow down Bane. I rated that a 3 out of 5. I didn't care for the Bane series at all. It was probably my lowest Batman. Although I'm not caring for the one with the Wonder Woman right now, so that could be the lowest. It could. We have Trinity number 7. This is Cullen Bunn and Clay Mann reunite three villains as they discover the Pandora Pit, and it involves Ra's al Ghul, Cersei, and Lex. So it's like the Trinity of superheroes versus a Trinity of villains. You got Superman Lex, Wonder Woman Cersei, and Ra's al Ghul and Batman. We have a 3 out of 5. Youngblood number 5 and number 4. This is a flip book, Brigade number 4. And I believed I missed the issue, and I ordered it on DCBS as Youngblood number 4, or maybe I ordered it as Brigade number 4, and didn't realize I had it filed under Youngblood instead of Brigade, or vice versa. It was one of the two. And with these flip books, you really kind of have to, if you're a collector like me, you kind of have to buy two. One to file away with Youngblood number 4, and one to file away with Brigade, I mean Youngblood number 5, and one to file away with Brigade number 4. But this was Bad Rock was possessed by Darkthorn but rescued. Gravestone fights genocide in space against a magistrate. Atlas is killed. They return to Earth with sacrifice from the Birds of Prey. That was a group, and it's not the DC Birds of Prey, it was the Brigade Birds of Prey. We have Spawn 220. This was a White Spawn identity known, but media is trashing him. I wonder what I meant by White Spawn. Maybe it's a white guy. That was after yeah, it's about 220. I then get into the 4 out of 5s. I don't have any notes on this one, but it was Gotham Academy, second semester, number 6. That was my first 4 out of 5. We had Mother Panic, number 1, which some of them ranked in the 5 out of 5s in the current stuff. It's really clicking with me. And I think Mother Panic early on ranged from a 4 out of 5 to a 3 out of 5. And then it spiked up later on as I marathoned through a bunch of them and I saw all these connecting threads giving them 5 out of 5. So she takes down a villain who is destroying buildings and they find out he might be from the same orphan school that she was from. And then the backup is the radio show production agent is the daughter of Odd Man. And Odd Man, it is really interesting because that's a Gotham radio show backup. But what's really interesting is I used to love to go through the who's who's and the encyclopedias and find like really obscure characters and like who is this character? And I remember doing Odd Man. I remember doing a DC Noise episode, and I think it was with Eric. And we used to introduce ourselves not as Mike and Eric, but as a DC character, and I'm pretty sure on one episode I said, "I am Odd Man." So that was Mother Panic number 1. We had Animosity: The Rise number 1. It was the story behind the veterinarian, which is it's a supporting book to Animosity, and the veterinarian was a major character in the Animosity series. This just gives the backup story to that. We have Shadow Strikes number 1. A man is decapitated at the gentleman's club in the 30s. The fiance is acting weird. Margot, which is the girl, Shadow's girlfriend, is under a trance by the cultists, and one of Shadow's men is captured. That was the DC version of the Shadow. He owned the Shadow. DC had a Shadow comic. Well, first he showed up in Batman a lot, and then he had his own comic around the time they launched Shadow and Doc Savage the first time, and then he had Shadow Strikes. We then had Green Lanterns number 19. This issue had Dr. Polaris tries to save a brother and fight the Green Lanterns. We had Titans number 9, which was the Fatal Five, light about giving up powers, and Roy and Dick try to find out the truth behind Meta Solutions, which is the Fatal Five's company where they start taking away powers and they took away Mal's power. We had Super Sons number 2. It's a face-off with Lex, a new villain. It's like that Twilight Zone kid because of the Amazo virus. That was interesting. I've always liked the Twilight Zone kid that controls things. We have Superwoman number 8. She hallucinates about her relationship to Lois, and Superman is in the rejuvenation matrix. I don't remember Superman being in the rejuvenation matrix. I meant to say Superwoman was in the rejuvenation matrix. We have Wildstorm number 2, the engineers in pain and hiding, Io, Halo, and Skywatch after her for different reasons. She stole the technology from Io. Skywatch wants it. They don't realize it's their technology that was stole that Io stole from them because they monitor the skies. And Halo is involved because she saved Marlowe as they threw him out the building. We have Superman number 19, Mxyzptlk takes apart the family by making them forget one another. We have Youngblood Volume 3 number 1. This is Blue Boy takes over the bodies like Twilight and Suprema. A morph character tricks them to transfer into him as Supreme. It's got Shaft, Doc Rocket, Twilight, Big Brother, and Suprema, and a Morph-like character. And this was the arcade version, I believe, because it's Volume 3. it was an issue I was missing. We have a DC Retro Active Batman 1990. It was a Grant and Breyfogle on the ventriloquist story as he's released from prison on a technicality. It's got a zombie gangster that goes after Scarface. Batman saves the family from the zombie at the expense of letting the ventriloquist go. The second story was called Trash, where the son of a trash collector, that was a good story, is killed by mobsters trying to take the trash business away from the father. We have Superman number 9, I Ching, the guy who trained Wonder Woman, is now a new Superman, and this is number 9, and he's going to train new Superman. China White and her group are after Lex. We have Punisher 20 and 21. 20 was in Las Vegas. He's trying to protect a witness against an unknown assassin who dresses like a woman but fails. And 21, he's in Philadelphia working undercover to stop a corrupt boxing promoter. And it has Eric Larson on art. This is when we went on the Eric Larson terror with Spawn and Punisher and Geek Brunch. Aquaman number 19, the Aquamarines and Team Aquaman go after Dead Water. And that was Aquaman. And then Green Lantern number 19, which more backstory on why Roy and Ollie are so bitter. And Canary helps reunite them to fight a common enemy called the Wild Dogs. They're based on the actual Wild Dog character created by Max Allen Collins. We have Harley Quinn number 16, high-ranked 4 out of 5, the last 4 out of 5. It's a final battle with Zorkom as they find out the power is generated by the sun. Power Girl and Terra help homeless vampires. The story continues so that the Fight Club of the Batman and I don't even know what I wrote there. I got so bad. Nightwing number 1. It has Nightwing and Damian. This is a 5 out of 5. Go to rescue Sean, the girlfriend. Deathwing stabs Nightwing several times. And once in the head, which gets him to hallucinate about the multiverse Robins. We have Death Robin and Deathwing were released by Professor Pig. That can't be number 1. That's number 17, I think. I think. Detective Comics 529 is versus the Thief of the Night, and he's got shadow-like powers, stealing various pieces from Nocturna. You remember that's like Jason Todd's kind of mother. There's a Wayne Industry accident, creates a pigment disorder, and needs insurance. That's what happens to Nocturna. It's like the origin. There's a date with Vicky Vale, which is disastrous as he leaves her in the car for 3 hours. That's why it's a 5 out of 5. It's funny. And then we have a backup story of Green Arrow versus Ozone, which is a spray can villain. We have Spawn 258 through 263. This is the McFarlane and Larson. Have Al go after his ex-wife Wanda in hell to try to free her from hell, and it versus Satan and his plan to bring the gods into the mix. He sacrifices his suit so Wanda can go to heaven, promises Wanda to protect the innocent and children as a hero. His powers are diminished as he only has the silver of the costume left. Heaven and hell can no longer come to earth. So this is when he's depowered. This is when I stopped reading Spawn. I need to pick it up very soon. So that's that, and I hope you enjoyed that. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. At Mike Myers Brunch, you can send me questions to both those places. This podcast is located at geekbrunchpodcast.com. And we'll leave the light on for you. No, just kidding. You can leave comments at that website, and we're also located at Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast, and click the like button and follow the episode threads there. You can leave an iTunes review. It's much appreciated. And any questions you can send my way, I will collect them and answer them on this podcast. Thank you for listening, and bye-bye.